go back. It might be hard, but it's just a test. It's just a test of your faith. The Lord didn't promise none of us that we're going to live a life of ease when we come to Him. But He told us in the world we'll have tribulations. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And if He's in you, you are an overcomer. I better stop because I'm going to preach some more. God is able. God is able. How many of you know He's able? He's able to do anything. Anything but fail. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Verse 26. If you find it, please say amen. The Bible said, and God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and if you will do the right thing, and if you will hear or give ear to the commandments, and if you will keep his statutes, I will put none of this disease. He's talking about the disease he put on Egypt. He said he will not put it on you. And then here's the punchline. I am the Lord that healeth thee. While you are still standing, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word will stand forever. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in the house. Thank you for giving this church a platform not only in this community, but beyond this community. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you are doing in your world. Lord, I pray for your anointing on the world today. I pray that you will use me to be a blessing and not a curse. Glorify yourself in this house. Somebody is here with a question. I pray, oh God, that you will provide answers for them. I pray that you will meet every need, that you will heal our body and heal our broken heart, and just show yourself strong in Central Louisiana. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks to our media people today. I was watching the news and I saw Sister Mara. That was beautiful. She's not just a school teacher. Now she's working for the Lord. Right. Amen. That's a blessing. We're going to take this church another level. I'm going to get hold of you all professionals in this house. We have bankers. We have lawyers. I see Shane. I see Ruby. All of you that the Lord has blessed. We have all financial advisors. Amen. Even medical doctor. I see Dr. Weatherspoon. Janice, Dr. Washington, several of these doctors were here early this morning for 8 a.m. I noticed one thing with churches or black churches or whatever. And we all work. Every church collects offerings on Sundays and they take it to the bank. You know what the Lord has been dealing with me? This bank don't pay you much. They take your money and they're making money off of your money. So we're going to break the curse in this community. I'm going to engage all of you smart brothers and sisters and find places we can infest. Amen. I said it. Amen. That's not my job. I'm just a visionary. I'm doing the same thing in my life. So why not do it for the glory of God? We don't need a place to be getting 1%, 1.5% return. There are places that you can invest and get 5, 10, 15, 20% interest. Amen. So turn on your smartness. Don't leave it at home. Let's change this whole community. Let's rewrite the history of this community. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I expect not just me. I don't want to be the only one being blessed. All of you working for me. All of my staff. When I say I'll see you at the top, that's from my heart. Let's take over this community. It's called Dominion Mandate. We are the head. Am I still in the book? Amen. Those of you working in the nursery, everywhere you work in this ministry, driving bus, I want the world to see you. I want you to be the envy of the world. I don't know how I get into that. Jesus. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Well, business concluded. No motion to adjourn. Praise God. I want to talk with you briefly on the subject titled How to Receive Your Healing. How to Receive Your Healing. So today's focus is on healing. Tell somebody I got it. Now let me take you behind the scene so you know why I'm talking about healing. I've noticed recently how the enemy has been attacking this church, you know, in the area of sicknesses and disease, you know. I don't know if you all notice it. The devil attack even your own pastor. Then I noticed how he attacked the chair of my deacon's ministry. Yes. The devil is very strategic. By the way, those of you that knows about wizard and witchcrafts, that's how they operate. They don't see the building as the church. They see the people. So they go after leadership. And if that don't work, they go after your marriage and go after your children. If that don't work, they go after your support system. All right? Even they attack the president of my choir. My major intercessor, they attack his children. I will watch this drama. I see a lot of members who have called me because I communicate, you know, and they will tell me this is what's going on in my family. My child is being attacked, or my job is being attacked, or my wealth is being attacked. So I put the two and two together, you know. So we have to fight back. Are you all still here? I don't have to tell you that. But I want you to know where I'm coming from. What's cooking in my spirit. Why I do what I do. So today, the focus is on healing. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you see the devil attacking you, you must be doing something right. If you're already on his team, he don't worry about you, he don't bother you. This church must be making a serious difference in this community. So that's good news. So I'm not intimidated by any attack of the devil. In fact, it gives me strength to keep marching. Another good news, of course, is that even though the enemy attacks, we are still here. Amen. Amen. If you notice, this is not a church where we are having funerals after funeral. Many churches, that's all they do. If you see funeral in this building, they are renting the building. Oh, glory. So the fact that we are still here let you know God is faithful to this church. Amen, somebody. So before we take the communion, I just want to share with you three stories. How many stories? Three. And I want to tell you about three people. And I want to give you three keys. Like a doctor, just prescribe to you what you need to take. Amen. You see how simple it is? Ladies and gentlemen, the first story I want to tell you is about Israel as a nation. What about them? You know how they were in Egypt for more than 400 years. Am I still in the book? And then, after so much struggle, after so much pain, the Lord delivered them. That itself is a miracle. Somebody shout miracle. Then after they were delivered, if you're following the history, they left Egypt and they're heading to what we call a promised land. God promised them a land. They have to travel through the wilderness to get to that promised land. Am I still in the book? The Bible is not really complicated. And as they were traveling, they ran into the Red Sea. They said, wait a minute, how are we going to pass through this? And if you recall, the Lord came through again. And they were able to walk through the Red Sea on dry land. Am I still in the book? That was another miracle. Somebody shout miracle. You know why I'm asking you to shout that word? Because today, many of you, that's what you need. In your life, maybe I should speak for me. The reason why I'm still standing before you today is a miracle. From time to time, I hear Sister Gail saying, I'm looking for a miracle. It's good to be a walking miracle. Amen. The Lord brought them through the Red Sea. And then we find them, they continue on their journey. Then the Bible said 3 days later, while they're still traveling, they ran into some problem. You know what the problem is? They ran out of water. You know, you got to have water. So they're frustrated. They're traveling in the desert and no water. Then they came to a town. The name of that town is called Mara. Don't let that throw you off. It's just a name. Just like you have the city of Alexandria, you have the city of Lacamp, you have city of Calphat, you have Pineville, Dry Prom, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. In biblical times, there are cities and towns. So they came to this little town called Mara. And amazingly, they found water. Of course, in real life, you will say, whoa, problem solved. Hallelujah. We're in the desert. We need water. We come to a town. Whoop, there is water to drink. But you know, the devil played tricks. The next thing they realize is that the water is no good. The water is not drinkable. The water is bitter. Ladies and gentlemen, I can stop there and preach to you because many people under the sound of my voice, they are going through some bitter experience. What do you do when you have water, but it's bitter? What do you do when you have a marriage, but it's bitter experience? What do you do when you have a job or you have a business, but the experience is bitter? This was a major problem for Israel. How do you react when you find yourself in that situation? In the case of Israel, guess what they did? They start murmuring. They start complaining. They start blaming leadership. I bet I can prove those folks were black people. I just put the two and two together, you know. Their leadership, their pastor's name was Moses. He had enough sense. Guess what he did? He went before God. That's what a good pastor would do. That's what a good leader would do. When your back is against the wall, when you have people who are working against the system, when people don't see what you see, you take your burden to the Lord. That's a free gift to pastors that are watching and leaders. Moses went before God. He said, Lord, Houston, we got problem. And again, the Lord came through. God always come through. Oh, I wish I could take you out for dinner and just sit down and testify. In 29 years of my being here, I've seen so much miracles. Many times when our back is against the wall, the Lord made a way out of no way. Now you know why we're saying the Lord will make a way somehow. You see, we're not just making noise. We are talking from personal experience. God told Moses, this is what you need to do. Get you a piece of stick and drop that piece of wood in the water. And Moses did as God command. Guess what happened? The bitter water turned sweet. Let me stop and pray for somebody right now. Whatever you're going through right now, I pray that God Almighty will turn every bitter water into sweet in your life. Everything the devil meant for evil, I pray that God will turn it around for your good. If you receive that, shout amen. Amen. That is a miracle. And then God gathered all of them and said, let me tell you something more. Guess what God told those Israelites? It's exactly what I read to you at the beginning of this sermon. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. God said, now that you are happy, now that you have water, now that the water is drinkable, now that the water that was bitter is now sweet, let me tell you something else about your God. He said, let me give you a promise that not only would I do what I just do, I will also take care of you for the rest of your life. But that was a conditional promise. So here is the promise in that one verse I read to you. God said to them, if you would listen to what your God is saying. He said, number two, if you would do the right things. I can stop there and preach, because many of you, the only thing hindering the move of God in your life is because you are messy. You won't do the right thing. I'll be honest with you, the devil will always present you opportunity to do wrong. But the Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, whose delight is in the law of God. In the law of God, he meditates day and night. Brothers like that, sisters like that, the Bible says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will bring forth your fruit in your season. Whatever you do, whatever you touch will prosper. People will look at you and see blessings. They will look at your family and see glory. They will look at your children's children and see miracles. That's the will of God for you. But the secret to it, do the right thing. Don't be a part of any mess in this community. There are many preachers in town. They call me all the time. Let's do this. Let's do that. I said, no, no, no. I cannot be a part of that. I'm like a pregnant woman. I'm carrying a miracle. A pregnant woman doesn't do like every other woman does. There's a reason for that. So if you want God to bless you, you want God to bless the work of your hand, you want God to bless your children, you want God to show out and show off in your life, you want your business to stand out among your peers, guess what God says? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't be a part of any mess. Don't join any funny club that doesn't represent God. Are you still here this morning? Then he told them, not only do you need to listen, not only do you need to do the right thing, he said, pay attention to God's commandments. He said, keep all my statutes. He said, if you would do that, he said, I will make sure no sickness, no disease come near your dwelling. In other words, all the mess flowing around in the world, they will not know your address. Open your mouth, shout amen to that. And then here is the punchline. I say all of that, that's introduction to my assignment today. God then said, let me introduce myself to all of you. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord who healeth thee. So for the first time, he introduced himself to humanity that his name is Jehovah Rapha. That word in Hebrew means healer. Are you still here? Two lessons you should have learned by now from their story. Number one, that God works miracles. Say, I got it. Number two, God is a healer. That's right, Mama. If you don't hear anything else, I have to say, receive that. God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. God wants to mend every broken area in your life. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. The question then is, how can you receive your healing? I finally get to my sermon. It's not enough for you to know that God can heal. You need to know how does God heal? How do I receive my healing? And I'm a living proof that God heals. You watch me, God see. People, everybody tell me, no, no, take the time off. You need 90 days of go on a sabbatical. The next Sunday, I'm right here. Some people will stay home for weeks, for months. Amen. I told my family, I say, the Negro is going to work. The question must be asked, brother pastor, what were you taking? What medication are you on? And I always tell you, there are two realms. There's the natural realms, and there's the spirit realm. In the natural, I got medication. My doctors, they told me, you got to take something they call Entresto. Don't ask me what that means. I mean, some big English. I take it every day. They told me I got to take something called Cafidolol. I can't even pronounce some of it. That's how deep these doctors are. I have nothing against doctors. My own daughter is a doctor. I celebrate them. They help us in the natural realm. But I want you to know there is a doctor. Oh, glory. Who is greater than every doctor on earth. I told you my friend, Manti is here. He is the CEO of the biggest hospital in this town. I tell everybody, I say, yes, he's good. I like the company I keep. I thank God for the hospitals. Many of us would have been dead in our graves, but for their help. But don't just stop in the natural. Amen. You need what I call holistic healing of your physical being. So just like the doctor prescribed for me, you see I'm in pain, they say take 2 Tylenol. Some of you right now, your purse is full of pills. Don't make me call you out. You know I'm cuckoo enough just to do stuff like that. You know. But I'm saying there is a realm of the spirit. And the spirit realm, to be honest with you, is far more real than the natural realm. So you need to know what God prescribed in the spirit realm for you to take. Just like I'm taking medication in the natural, believe it or not, I'm taking medication in the spirit. Tell somebody, I got it. Okay, now, so what are the medications that God prescribed for us when you and I are sick? I'll give you 3 keys or 3 prescriptions. Number one, you need to locate the word of God concerning your situation and stand on it. Did you hear what I just said? I just gave you $1 million advice. I'm sharing with you the secret of my existence. My children, you know they are concerned about me. They will come. Janice will come. How you doing? I say, I'm fine. Daddy, don't lie to me now. All is well. I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Don't just sing it. Knowing your knowing that God's got your back. Storm may rise, wind may blow. Deep within you, you know. And when you know that you know, no devil can talk you out of what you know. Amen. What is the prescription? Locate the word of God concerning your situation and stand on it. Question, what does the Lord say? What is the word of God that I'm asking you to locate? I just gave you one. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's what God said concerning you. The day you get a revelation of that, your life will never be the same again. What does the word of God say that I'm asking you to locate? Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. God said, I will remove sicknesses and disease from your life. He even tell you how he's going to do it. He said, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water. Let me put it in plain English. He will remove contaminations, food poisoning. Do you know you can eat something and drop dead? You eat the wrong thing, just like that. One preacher experienced that. He's a native of this community, you know. I think he grew up in Ward Field. And he was pastoring over there in Houston, Texas. He came just to visit. He eats something. And he ended up at the hospital. He's dead. Just like that. God can remove poisonings. He said, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water. Oh, one of the things I have to deal with as a public figure is every day I'm getting invitation. People want an audience with you, you know. Come to my house. Come eat. You can tell they're dirty. True story, I never will forget one time. I was visiting a home like that, and the food tastes terrible. True story. And I'm sitting there, and I can hear heaven downloading, mama. And the Lord told me, okay, the woman is going to ask you, how is the food? He said, I know you, Joshua Joydara. You want to be nice to everybody. Tell her the truth, that the food no good. And I'm saying, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to. No, no, that's not even my personality. I'm not going to tell the woman how terrible the food is. And it's like I'm talking to my own self. The Holy Spirit said, no, tell the truth. If you say something else, you're lying. Tell the truth. Then I begin to pray. I say, please, Lord, don't let the woman ask me for my opinion. By that, I will satisfy God, so, because I wouldn't lie. And I will satisfy the woman also. And my prayer was not answered. And after a while, that old woman came to me, Reverend, how was the food? I said, oh, man. It almost made me curse. You know? Now I got to do what the Lord said. I said, Mama, to be honest with you, that food was horrible. It tastes terrible. I knew then I've lost a member that day. But will you believe, God is my witness. While I was talking, his children fastened their eyes on me. And her husband waiting to hear what I'm going to say. When I said, I just knew then I'm done. I'm finished. I just destroyed my own reputation. Instead, the husband said, Pastor, I know for sure you're a man of God. He joined the church. He has never left this church. Let me give you a clue. He is now a deacon. I am so glad. It was tough for me because if you know me, that's just not my personality. I want to just smooth things out and say, oh, that was so, it tastes good. But the Holy Spirit said, you be lying. Tell the truth. How do you receive your healing? Prescription number one, locate the word of God and stand on it. What does the word of God say? Isaiah 53 verse 4. He had borne our griefs and he had carried our sorrows. What does the word of God say? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change it not. What does the word of God say? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He will always be the same. Locate the word of God. Locate it and stand on it. What does the word of God say? Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes you are healed. Locate that word. Locate that word. And stand on it. What does the word of God say? Psalms 103, beginning from verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2 said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all of his benefits. As a child of God, you have benefits. You have insurance policy. It comes with benefits. You have to remind yourself constantly about the benefits. Part of the reason why many of us stay sick, we forget the benefits. You know how you tell people something and they forget it? You know why they forget? Because it's not important to them. Develop a habit of making the word of God very important. Remind yourself, what are these benefits? In the book of Psalms 103, verse number 3, he said, the benefits are, he forgiveth all of your iniquities. That's a good place to shout. I don't know about you, it's good to know. God has forgiven me of all my mess up. You walk around looking down, walking around with low self-esteem. Why? Whatever you have done, wherever you have been, all your mistakes, God look beyond your fault and see your need. Don't forget the benefit. He forgiveth all your iniquities. You know what that means? It don't matter what anybody say about you. You just knowing your known. You're a freed man. You just knowing your known. You're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. The Bible says you're actually blessing the city. You're actually blessing the city. You're blessing the field. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed going out. Everything you touch is blessed. What are the benefits? Psalm 103, verse 3 says, he healeth. Not some of your disease, all of your disease. Think of whatever diagnosis you've been given by the doctor. By his stripe, you're healed. That's right, sister. I like that. By his stripe, you are already healed. You got to know that in your spirit, man, that these two shall pass. Troubles don't last always. Though the storm keep on blowing in your life, your soul is anchored in the Lord. Are you still here? That's why somebody say, I sing because I'm happy. The songwriter say, I sing because deep within me I'm free. How can you say that, brother pastor? Because his eyes is on the sparrow. And I know You got to know, I know. I wish I have a witness. I know that God watches over me. On my job, I know God watches over me. In my daily work, I know God watches over me. In my business, I know God got my back. And when you know that you know that you know, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. Look at somebody next to you and say, I know. Amen. This might surprise you. I came to preach about healing this morning, and I came to my pulpit, and somebody left a pill this morning. See, I'm holding, I don't know what this is. I said, huh? What is that? He said, Pastor, this is yours now. I said, no, no, no. Don't stop taking your medication. All right. That's why I told you, medication that doctors on earth prescribe. I take it every day. And you're listening to me. But take another medication that heaven prescribed. God's pill. And you're still here. And what is the first pill? It said, locate the word of God. Stand on it, mama. Stand on it. Got to learn how to trust him. You know the problem with many people? Minister Matt, they don't even know what God said. How are you going to take a pill that you don't even have? You see the problem? Some people only come to church when they're hatched, when they're matched, when they're dispatched. And so they allow the devil to slap them around all year. This book of the law, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it. Day and night, be careful to do what he says. Then and only then, you shall make your way prosper. And you will have good success. You got to know. You know what that tells me? I'm taking a detour now. You got to know healing. For God to heal you, there's a part that you have to play. Did you hear what I just said? What does the preacher say? There's a part you have to play. I'm talking about personal responsibility. Let me talk to my white folks. Hold on. Let me talk to black people first. The reason why so many blacks are struggling, you depend too much on others. You have to take personal responsibility for your life. Many of you, you're waiting on the government. What government? They're confused. You're waiting on other people. When are you going to take personal responsibility for yourself? Hey, don't turn me off. You know God sent me here. You got to locate. That's your responsibility. Mama can't do that for you. Your pastor cannot do that for you. You have to accept the responsibility to locate what God said and stand on it. Stand on it. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. That's your job. It won't happen by accident. You've got to take personal responsibility. Let me give you a second key. You have to reach out and receive your healing by faith. Are you listening to me? What did I say you got to do? You got to reach out and receive your healing by faith. When I say by faith, I'm talking about you cannot be looking at the symptoms. God is my witness. There are many times that my body is riddled with pain and I'm still here with a beautiful smile. Every morning I get on television throughout the whole world saying good morning, and good morning. You think I don't have problems? Do you think I don't feel down sometimes? Faith will cause you to reach out and receive your miracle. When you get a chance, read the book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 9. That brings me to a second story. There was a feast going on in Jerusalem, like a festival. Like you all have Mardi Gras here. In Israel, they have festival. They have 7 different festivals. And Jesus decided to attend one of those festivals. And he was in Jerusalem. That's where the party is taking place. But the Bible says in that same city, there is a sheep market. Many of you don't understand that. You city people. Some of us who come from the jungle, we know there are markets where they sell sheep and goats. That's what they're talking about. They said right next to that sheep market, there is a pool. They even give you, the Bible gives you the name of the pool. It's called Bethesda. Then the Bible says at that pool, there's always a gathering of sick people, impotent people, all kinds of sicknesses. The question must be asked, why are they gathering around that pool? The reason is because the Bible said once a year, an angel will come down from heaven and stir up the water. And anybody that is sick that get in first in that water will be healed. That's why they're gathered there. Now you understand the Negro spiritual when we sing, wait in the water, wait in the water, children, wait in the water, God's going to trouble the world. But don't just sing it. In fact, the truth be told, every time you see me, sometimes I walk in as if I'm just cool. But I've been studying all week. Don't be fooled by my smile. When I walked in here, the Negro is loaded. What I do every week is to come right here, stand here, and stir up the word of God so that somebody can jump in and receive your miracle. The Bible says anybody that jump in first, they get healed. But the Bible point out somebody who was there. The Bible said this dude has been there 38 years. 38 years. So remember, Jesus came to town for a party, for a festival. But Jesus is so merciful and so compassionate, he left his own agenda for the day to come to see about that man. Now, I got to confess to you, I'm not that Christian. If I come to town for Mardi Gras, I'm in for Mardi Gras. Whatever your problem is, you call me, click, I'll put my phone on silence. Because today, Julio is in town to celebrate. But Jesus, thank God, is not like me. He's more elevated, thank God. Jesus left the party and came to this pool where sick people are gathered. And then in John chapter 5, verse 8, you see Jesus talking to this man. He said, "Hey, boo, will thou be made whole?" You know why Jesus did that? Because the Bible says he knew the man has been there for too long. Question, how long have you been carrying your sickness? How long have you been dealing with the same diagnosis? And listen to the brother's response. In John chapter 5, verse 8, he said, every time the angel comes down, every time the water is stirred up, there's nobody to carry me. You know what is wrong with that response? He refused to take personal responsibility. I've been preaching the same thing for 29 years. Take personal responsibility. Don't say, "I'm broke because the white folks." No, the white folks cannot make you or break you. Don't say, "It's the Mexican." No, it's not the Mexican. The day you make up your mind that I'm coming out of this mess, that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, that I'm going to make it, I don't care if the Democrats in the White House or the Republicans are in the White House. It don't matter who is the mayor of the city. I come to town to be blessed. He was making excuses. The reason why he was stuck there for 38 years, he was waiting on somebody else. Now, Jesus did something. I got to stop. Jesus did something to help him. He said, "Hey, dude, let me show you how God operates." He said, "This is what you need to do. Get up." I need to preach that sometimes. That's all. They invited me one time to speak before the NAACP. Did I get it right? And guess what I told them? Get up. In a few days now, I'm supposed to be speaking to the whole association. I don't know who these people are. I want to tell them how to win in life. Yes. You can win. God is no respecter of person. Jesus told him, "Get up. Pick up the mess you've been lying on for 38 years and begin to walk." Notice that Jesus didn't say, "Oh, let me baby see. You can make it. Hey, you can do it." Nobody have time for that foolishness. Get up. And the Bible said, verse 9, the man get up. You know what that tells me? He always had the ability. He just never used what he got. Jesus did not even help him. He got up himself. He picked up his mat. and he started to walk. That's right, Pastor. The Bible says immediately he began to walk.